Please turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. If you have a Bible, it would be great to have that in front of you right now. Sorry, 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to start from verse 4. It would be good to have a Bible in front of you, but as well as that, the words will appear on the screen, and we will read together 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 to 10. So as the words come up on the screen now, hopefully we'll get the words up on the screen. If not, then we can just you can just read along with your Bible in front of you. I'm reading from the NIV version. So 1 Peter chapter 2 from verse 4. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Let's pray together as we come to God's word. Father in heaven, we ask that you would please open our eyes to see wonderful things in your word today, for Jesus' sake. Amen. A man planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a pit for the wine press, and built a watchtower. And then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved away to another place. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants to collect from them some of the fruit of the vineyard. But they seized him, beat him, and sent him away empty-handed. Then he sent another servant to them. This man they struck on the head and treated shamefully. He sent still another, and that one they killed. He sent many more. Some of them they beat, others they killed. He had one left to send, a son whom he loved. He sent him last of all, saying, "They will respect my son." But the tenants said to one another, "This is the heir. Come on, let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." And so they took him and they killed him, and they threw him out of the vineyard. What then will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others. Haven't you read the passage of Scripture? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. It's a story that Jesus told, a shocking story. Shocking because of the outrageous behavior of the tenants, shocking because of the violence, but shocking most of all because Jesus is talking about himself. Jesus is the loved son that they should respect, but instead they reject. Jesus is the one his own people would kill. He is the stone the builders rejected. Sometime after the rejection of Jesus, after his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, his dear friend Peter picks up on this same image of a stone in this letter written to rejected Christians. Take a look with me at verse 4 and 5. Take a look. It says this: "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house." Jesus is the living stone. Jesus is the living stone. That's a bit of a strange image. How can a stone be living? It's a reminder to us that the Jesus that we come to is not, he's not someone who's as dead as a dodo. There was a time where he was once dead. His body was as cold and unmoving as stone. But then he rose back to glorious life. He is a living stone. A living stone who is rejected. You see that again in the verse. A living stone who is rejected by people. Rejected by humans. It's the picture of a building site. The architect has drawn up his lovely plans. The builders are beginning to gather their materials for the building. And they come across this, this is useless, this is rubbish. And so into the skip it goes. It's a shocking way to describe the Son of God as a discarded bit of rubble. It's shocking. But this is who Jesus is. Like Isaiah said, a man who is despised and rejected by men. Like John said, he came to his own, but his own did not receive him. This is the Messiah. This is God's promised one that they were waiting for. But when he turned up, they turned him down. As you read about his life here on earth, again and again, this is what you see. Someone who is rejected by humans. He's a blasphemer. He's a sinner lover. He's a Sabbath breaker. He's crazy. He's possessed. He's just a carpenter. Rejected. And the ones who rejected him the strongest were actually the ones who should have respected him the most, the religious leaders. And they quickly go from suspicious to malicious. Jesus calls them out with this shocking story about the tenants, but rather than respond, they reject and they plot his arrest. And so as Jesus stands before the high priest on trial, and as he confirms his identity as the Messiah, yet still they reject him and they condemn him to death. And as Jesus dies on the cross under that sign which read, "King of the Jews," yet still they reject their king. They mock him and insult him. And if you read on after his death, if you read on after his resurrection, look at the book of Acts and read about the early church. Take a look through all of church history. Take a look around at the society today, and you will see this very same pattern. Some accept, but many reject Jesus, the living stone. This is our God. This is Jesus, our Savior, rejected by humans. But for Jesus, rejection is not a failure. Rejection is not failure. When we get rejected, it feels like failure. If you get rejected from a job interview or a credit application or from university, that feels like failure. But for Jesus, rejection is not failure. In fact, it's necessary. That's something that Peter himself had to learn. Peter was the first of Jesus' followers for whom it clicked. You're not crazy. You're not possessed. You're not just a carpenter. You're not John the Baptist. You're not one of the prophets. You're not Elijah. You are the Messiah, said Peter. And Peter was right. But there was something that he wasn't ready for. Because straight away, Jesus began to teach that the Son of Man, that's himself, that the Son of Man must suffer, that he must be rejected, that he must be killed and then rise again. And Peter, well, he just can't understand that. Rejection? Rejection's failure, right? If you die, well, that's the end of our hopes. And so he takes Jesus to one side and he rebukes him, only for Jesus to respond with a rebuke of his own in the strongest possible terms. Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, only the concerns of humans. Peter learned that day that in God's purposes, rejection is not a sign of things gone wrong. Rejection is part of the plan. The Son of Man must suffer. He must be killed. He must rise again. Our only hope of being saved relies on Jesus being rejected. Redemption comes through rejection. The story of Jesus mirrors the story of Joseph, the loved son, rejected by his own and sold for silver, and yet God works through this rejection for the saving of many lives. You see, rejection is not the whole story. This living stone is rejected by humans, but he is chosen by God. Take a look again at verse 4. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God. There's a guy who rides around in this local area. You might have seen him. He rides around on a bike. And he picks up the stuff which other people are throwing away. So he kind of goes past the houses and takes a look at what people have left outside their houses. And to them, it's useless. They're getting rid of it. But to him, those things have value and they have a purpose. The builders might have chucked Jesus in the skip, but God, the great architect, had specially selected this stone for a particular purpose. God had drawn up this blueprint for his masterpiece, a temple, a house for him to live in, and Jesus is the crucial cornerstone. Jesus, the living stone, was selected by God, chosen to accomplish his purposes, and actually rejection is part of that plan. Rejected by humans, chosen by God, and verse 4, precious to him. Precious to him. Our daughter, Safi, has just started to have a bottle of milk in the evening, just before bed. And it's really nice, because now I can feed her, although it doesn't really work because Safi associates me with playtime, not sleep, and so she just wants to muck around and doesn't actually get very sleepy. But I was feeding her this week, and it was a lovely moment. Everything was calm. She was just happily in my arms. I was looking into her eyes. She was looking into my eyes, and it was just one of those really special moments. You might have had a similar one with a family member or a close friend where you just feel like your heart is full to bursting. Your affection just overflows as in that moment you just realize in that particular moment just how special, how precious that loved one is to you. Our deepest human relationships, the most intense moment of love that you can ever remember, that you have ever experienced, that is just the tiniest glimpse of the love of God in the Trinity. Father, Son, and Spirit together in perfect love. Jesus is precious to the Father, so precious, precious in a way that we can't even begin to imagine or describe. My beloved son, with whom I am well pleased. And that changes the way that we see his rejection. Sure, he is rejected by humans, but he is chosen by God and precious to him. And which would you prefer? This is Jesus. This is the living stone. But notice in verse 4, he is not the only one. Have a look at verse 4 again. Jesus is not the only one. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. As we come to Jesus, we too are described as living stones. As we come to him, we are made like him. Our identity is bound up in his identity. Because he is the living stone, we also are living stones. And by making this connection, Peter is tying together what's true of Jesus with what's true of us. This is the pattern of the living stone, and therefore we can expect this to be the pattern for us as living stones as well. You see, Peter knew the people that he was writing to. He knew that just like Jesus, they were rejected by humans. They were feeling that rejection from people. They were scattered exiles. Hashtag not at home. Under pressure. Under persecution. And it might come in different ways, but the same is true for us today. We also, as God's people today, are rejected by people. Disapproved of. Disregarded. Sometimes we're rejected because of what we say. Because of what we say. A little while back, I was knocking on some doors in the local area, seeking to share the good news of Jesus, something of the hope that we have in Jesus. And one guy just literally slammed the door in my face. If that's ever happened to you, literally or metaphorically, you'll know that it's not an enjoyable experience to be rejected because of what we say. For people to treat the message of good news as if it's untrue or as if it's unimportant. Sometimes we're rejected because of what we say, because of our message. Other times we're rejected because of what we do. Just like Peter's readers in chapter 2, verse 12, we have been called to live distinctively good lives. We stand out. And people don't always like that. Chapter 4, verse 4. They are surprised when you don't join in with their reckless, wild living. And they heap abuse on you. When I was at university, I went to a friend's birthday party. I think it was her 21st. And she'd hired out, I think her family, a rich family, had hired out this amazing grand venue with a sweeping staircase, and it was a proper sit-down meal. And so I went to this party, and I made it clear to my friends that as a Christian, I wasn't going to get drunk, and I made a point of sticking to just one drink. I was just going to have one drink, and that was it. Very clear. And people, they didn't really understand it. They thought it was strange. They were teasing me about it throughout the evening. As I took a sip of my water, it tasted really odd, and I realised they'd tried to put a load of vodka in it to try and get me drunk. Now, it wasn't that big a deal. They were just having a laugh. They were just messing around. But it's just an example, actually, of the way that our distinctive lives, people don't always respect that, and it can lead us feeling silly and rejected, out on the fringes, excluded. Perhaps you're overlooked for a promotion, or people say that you're not really a team player because you refuse to compromise on a particular area of integrity at work. Or maybe you're excluded from a friendship group because people think you're a bit odd in the way that you live as a Christian. Maybe right now you're weighing up becoming a Christian, you're counting the cost, but you're not sure that you can deal with being rejected because actually all you really want is to be loved and to be respected and to be valued. Sometimes we're rejected because of what we do. Other times we're rejected because of what we believe. As we stick to God's loving truth about things like gender and sexuality and abortion, as we insist that Jesus really is the only way to be saved, well, those kind of beliefs are unacceptable in our culture. People don't just disagree, they disapprove. And they quickly go from being suspicious to malicious. Like Jesus, we know what it's like to be rejected by people. But by making this connection between Jesus and us, Peter wants to remind us that being rejected is not the end of the story. Because just like Jesus, we too have been chosen by God, specially selected to carry out his purposes in the world as living stones. Next week, we're going to think a bit more about what that looks like. But again, doesn't this make such a difference to us to know that when we are rejected by people, we are chosen by God? It doesn't actually matter too much if you're rejected from a job interview, if you then get headhunted by a better organization. It doesn't matter if you get turned down for a credit card, if someone then gives you £1 million in cash. It doesn't really matter if you get turned down from your university, if you then get an offer from Oxford. It doesn't matter so much if we get rejected by people, if we know that we're chosen by God. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that rejection is easy. Of course, it hurts. It's hard. But as we come to Jesus, we know that when we are rejected by humans, we are being chosen by God himself. And which one would you prefer? Chosen by God. When you're feeling that raw sting of rejection, just remember that you are chosen by God and precious to him. Precious to him. That overwhelming feeling that I was talking about earlier, that when your heart is just so full of affection towards a precious loved one. And remember how I said that most intense love that we can ever feel is just a puddle compared with the depths, the ocean depths of God's great love for his son? Well, here's the most incredible thing, the most astonishing and amazing truth. God's love towards his precious son is the very same love that he has for you. God's love towards his precious beloved son is the same love that he has for you as you come to Jesus. And if you haven't done that, again, I need to urge you, please do it. Come to Jesus as you come to God through Jesus. He loves you like he loves his beloved son. If you are looking for love, if you are looking for value and meaning, there is nothing like being a child of God. That is worth all the rejection from people that we might suffer. He loves us not because of anything that we've done or because we are lovable, but because we come to him through Jesus and we are forgiven by his blood and we are clothed in his righteousness. He loves us so much that he sent his beloved son to be rejected, to suffer and to die, so that whoever believes in him might receive eternal life and not perish. So when people reject you, and if you live as a Christian, then they will reject you, just like they rejected Jesus. But when people reject you, take a look at the cross. Fix your eyes on the risen and living Lord Jesus, and remember just how precious you are to God. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, We come before you astonished by this wonderful truth that we are precious to you. It feels too much to try and claim for ourselves. A truth too wonderful to believe, but we thank you that it's true. That you love us in Jesus like you love Jesus. That we are chosen and precious to you. Give us a sense of your love for us. Just a taste and a glimpse of how much you care. The lengths to which you would go. The price that you would pay to set us free and to make us your own. And we pray that you would help us, therefore, when we feel rejection, when we experience rejection from people, not to think that something's gone wrong, but to realize it's part of your plan. To realize that we are following in the footsteps of Jesus. And that even when it stings and hurts, you would give us perseverance and joy as we remember how precious we are to you. We thank you for our Lord Jesus. And we thank you for the love that you have for us in our Lord Jesus. We thank you in his name. Amen.